Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our brand new series entitled Next. And throughout this series, it's going to be 7 weeks long, and we're going to be looking at critical next steps that build our faith. Here's what I found in my life is that God gives each one of us a measure of faith. What we do with that faith is determined on our level of obedience and continuing to grow our faith. Faith is like a muscle that has to be grown. And God wants us to understand that it doesn't matter where we start, it matters where we're going. And God wants to give us clear next steps on how to build a life of significance where we have a whole life that's committed to God and we find blessing coming into our life. How many are ready for this series? It's going to be an incredible time and it's going to be a little bit more teachy. So I'm going to try to teach, but we're still going to have fun. And I promise the more you respond, the quicker I'll go. So anyway, here we go. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to talk about two things that Jesus said was great. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." How many know that's good news right there? That no matter what we are doing, every next step, God has already been where we're going. He's faithful to stick with us. And one more thing that Jesus said was great. These are the great commandment and the great commission. This is the great commandment right here. Matthew chapter 22, it says, "And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. You are to love your neighbor as yourself." Two great scriptures that really are the foundation of our church. I want to read to you our mission statement as a church. My City Church exists to lift up Jesus in our city by loving people and empowering leaders in every sphere of life. Today, I want to talk to you about this first next step of a big thing you got to get under your belt. Is you got to understand that there is a big mission. You got to understand that there's a big mission. Let's pray today. Jesus, we come to you and pray you speak to us, you would challenge us. Lord God, I pray that there would be, Lord God, never a spirit of condemnation in our church, but there would be a spirit of growth, of passion, of desire to take next steps into all that you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to walk this journey with us. So we're asking you to show up in this room to speak to us today. Lord, I pray you'd help me preach 1,000 messages to people's hearts today. Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you are welcome here. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Come on, just one more time before we go any further. If you love Jesus today, give him a big round of applause. So I got a question for you. Do I have anybody out there that periodically, just every once in a while, you like to go back in time and maybe watch some classic movies every once in a while? Like guys, all the guys in the room, let's be honest. It probably once a year we rewatch Gladiator. Just because it feels good, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm that person. Like, at least once a year, I go back and I watch it. And we all know that we watch it for one reason. It's the scene when he comes out and he realizes, oh man, he's not dead. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, I am Decimus Maximus Meridius Commander. And you're like, oh my God, I love you, man. Bro time, you know? Like, it just feels good. You know, I have a Braveheart. Like, this is good, one of those, you recycle that one, you know what I mean? It comes back around, you know, periodically. There's just so many good movies that just kind of come back around. But one of mine that I kind of like to rewatch, and some people may not like this one as much, but for me, it makes me laugh, and I think it has great principles to it, is The Karate Kid. Come on, how many like the Karate Kid? You can't go wrong. With a guy named Mr. Miyagi? Like, you can't argue with that. Just say Mr. Miyagi out loud. See, you can't say it without smiling. You can't do it. It sounds so good. And I'm going to apologize because I may or may not use an Asian accent coming up here for a minute. And don't judge me, okay? I'm not going to judge you, so you judge me, okay? But I loved Mr. Miyagi because why? There was Daniel-san. I love Daniel-san. You know what I mean? Daniel-san, he has great aspirations. You know, not only that, but Mr. Miyagi sees something in Daniel-san. He sees something that maybe even Daniel-san doesn't see in himself, but once he kind of gets him convinced, he starts the process of what I would call training. Now, if you're training to be a great karate fighter, your assumption would be that you would start learning to fight. So we're talking like karate chops or breaking boards. I don't know what karate people do, but this just makes sense to me. And that's what I would want to do. But where does Mr. Miyagi start Daniel-san at? Come on, you're my people back there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He gets him out, and he starts having him wax the car. And it's what? It's wax on, wax off. Daniel-san, wax off, wax on. Over and over again. And the guy, he's so tired of waxing on and waxing off. But here's the thing that Mr. Miyagi is trying to get Daniel-san to get. Not only that, in this picture, I think God would be Mr. Miyagi and we would be Daniel-san. That the great foundations for your life are never going to be sexy. Come on, let's be honest, folks. Like, the things that make a great life are not the things that we celebrate on planet Earth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, man, like, I paid my bills this month. You go, dog. Way to go, bro. You are amazing. Like, who paid their bills this month? Come on, let's celebrate each other right now. Like, this is the only meeting in the history of your life where you've had that happen. Like, the things that actually build a life, we don't celebrate that much. Because why? Foundations aren't all that sexy. Like, when you drive up to my house, nobody walks up. They're like, hey, man, dude, bro, this house. This house, look at that foundation. That's a beautiful, man. Like, where have I never seen a foundation like that? Like, woo! Like, oh man, that foundation. Like, nobody's walked up to your car and been like, you get. They look at the car and they crawl underneath. God, this transmission down here. This is I've never seen a transmission like this. It's unbelievable. But try to drive your car without a transmission. See, it's oftentimes the things that are hidden that make the most difference in our life. It's oftentimes the things that nobody else is paying attention to, that God specifically pays attention to, that make the most difference in our lives. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says this. This is how one translation reads it. Above all else. What's that mean? Above all else. Probably pretty important, right? Like, out of everything that you can think of doing in this life, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it comes the resources of your life. So what we see above the surface starts in the foundation of our hearts. And what God wants us to do is begin to build some next steps that make sure that we get this process right. Can I tell you, well-meaning people get things out of order. And when God is out of his proper order, everything else in life becomes out of order. So here, let me clearly explain this to you. When we don't get our why right, the what will never fulfill. You can dress up the what, you can change in the what, you can try to do different what's, you can try to read your Bible more, you can try to pray more, you can try to, but if we don't get the why correct, the foundation of the thing, everything that we birth out of that, the resources of our life, never produce what we want to come into our life. Are you hearing me this morning? So God wants us to give some clear next steps that we learn to what? Allow him to challenge our hearts so the things that come out of our lives are healthy. They produce life and life more abundantly. They're not built out of religion. They're built out of a response to grace that works effectively. See, I hear people all the time, like, really, really in love with grace, but not really loving with works. Well, friends, you can't separate grace from works. It's just where you start from. Our why is grace. Our works is what? So if you're worried about your what and you don't have your why right, you're going to have a really, really hard time following Jesus in these next steps. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's going, hey, I'm putting the word great on a couple things. I'm trying to highlight a few things for you that I want you to understand that are important if you're going to begin to grow in your faith, if you're going to lay the right foundation, if you're going to work from a healthy place into what I've called you to do. And he starts off with the great commandment. Now, I want to throw that out there. It's a great what? It's a great suggestion. A great hope. It's a great commandment. So this one is, the second one is a great commission, which means if we don't get the commandment right, the commission's never going to function the way we wanted it to. So what Jesus is laying is, he's laying, hey, there, this great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Can I tell you, step one in every single person's faith journey, here's the thing about next steps. This is important that you understand this. It's not linear, it's a circle that feeds one another. So I pass step one, I don't forget about step one. I still keep on living out step one. So it's not like math in school where you just got through the class and you're like, thank God I never have to use that again. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a process of development full of next steps. So God wants us to understand that the first thing, if we're going to get any kind of life-giving ministry, any kind of life-giving spirit in us, the first thing is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. So the question that can pop up is how do we do this? Well, here's what the Bible says. This is how we know what love is, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love that we love God with back originated what? Because of his great love for us. So we love God back not based on self-effort, but on response to a revelation of just how good Jesus has been to us. So love is birthed by God and is kept alive by God. And everything else that's birthed out of that is sustained by God. So I want to give you just a few little things here that helps us love for God. The first step is to realize how much God loves you. Like, if you don't have that revelation, let's just start there. Let's just work on that. When we come to church, let's worship and begin to ask God, show me how much you love me, God. Let's get the foundation right so the things that we build stand the test of time. Let's start there. But if we're starting to get that, what we want to start doing is now we're going to start loving God back. And it's a relationship. It's not works. But how many of you know relationships take work? Any of my married people out there? You know exactly what I'm talking about. It takes investment. It takes time. It takes passion. It takes energy. And a couple of things I want to just help people with here is there are a few things that God gives us to help keep our why stable in our heart, okay? Our why stable in our heart. The first thing, I liken to these things, I had a mentor who used to call it a three-legged stool. If I have a three-legged stool, what? I can sit on it, I can stand on it, because why? It's stable. It might not be as stable as a four-legged stool, but I can stand on it. If I take one of those legs away, what starts to happen? Yeah, no good, no bueno. Yeah, you'll fall down. It's not going to go well. You can't stand on that. You can't stand. You can't build. You can't be safe. You can't be stable on top of that. The first leg of the stool is prayer. Like, a great next step, if you're going to love God with all of your heart, is to be a person of prayer. Now, straight away, I want to alleviate guilt and any form of, like, condemnation, because for a long time in my life, when I came to church, prayer, and I'd be like, well, okay, so what do you do? And then, you know, obviously some very spiritual person would tell me, well, I pray for an hour every morning. I was like, dear God, I quit already. I'm done. Just take me home. Like, can I just go to heaven now? You know, like, that seems so far out there to me. Like, you spend an hour in prayer? Like, and so I felt almost less than if I didn't do that. So I'm going to alleviate that. I want to give you just a helpful tip. The reason we pray is not time in, time out. Let me illustrate this for you. Me and my wife, we have a Monday night date night, and we fight to protect it, and we go out. And can I tell you, sometimes we go on that date, and it's a date. Like, I walk out there, and I'm like, I like dating you. You're hot. We should do this more often. And it just feels, and then sometimes you go on the date, and you walk out of there, and you go, You know, not because we don't care. It's just, it's what? Time in doesn't produce great relationship. So it's what we do in that time and what we're after during that time that produces life in the relationship or lack of life in a relationship. So if we go and we sit there and talk about our problems and all the things we got to get done and the 14 things and you know, we got to mow the grass and we got to do this and this bill's coming up, I'm leaving that more stressed out than I went into it, okay? That's not life-giving at all. But if we sit there, how are you doing? How are you feeling today? Like, what's God been speaking to you? What's going right? We talk about the positive. We speak life into one another. We just care for each other's emotions. We're in each other's presence. Big difference being around each other and being each other's presence. We walk out of there so life-giving. Can I tell you, your prayer life is the same thing? This isn't a religious ceremony. This is a relationship I'm developing. So here's what I do with prayer. I'm going to pray until his presence shows up. Some days that's a little longer than others. Some days I wake up in the morning, 5 minutes, I get in the shower, I put the phone up on the shower. Some of you guys, this is way too much information, okay? Just go with me here, okay? And I just start praying in the shower, and I'm like, God's here today. Like, I mean, God's with me today. I don't need to belabor it, because I'm going to walk with him daily. We're going to talk throughout my day about problems, situations, circumstances that comes up. I know when I leave that prayer moment, he goes with me. But what I need in my soul is I need to be confident that what? God is there, that we're present with one another. So I'm going to pray until his presence. Say that with me. I'm going to pray until his presence shows up. So good, man. So good. Second part of that leg of that stool is the word of God. Like, the word of God is pivotal for your life. Here's what I would say is that if we're going to be committed to next steps, we need a guide for what those steps are. The Bible says this, that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes we think that means we got to go away and we got to pray about every decision and wait for God to tell us exactly what to do to order our steps. Can I tell you, 90% of what you need to know to win in this life has already been told to you. It's called the Bible. And we would do a whole lot better is to look at it. David said this about the Word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the way we know where to go in life is to get into the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give some helpful tips. Later on in this series, we're going to talk even more in depth about this. I'm laying a broad stroke foundation today in part number one. But we're going to talk about how to get the most out of reading your Bible. Because what I experience a lot is people, we hand people a Bible, and like any good book, where do you start? The beginning. Okay, by show of hands, how many people have read Genesis chapter 1 9,000 times? Come on, let's be real. How many of you have read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians the same amount? You liars, you lie. But that's how we kind of work, right? Like, we start at the beginning of the book. I want to just give somebody some helpful tips here is like, hey, if you're new to this thing, here's the deal. Like I said, our goal isn't to go from A to Z. It's to go from A to B. So wherever you are, you don't read the Bible at all. Okay, well, give it 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day, right before you put it next to your pillow, roll over, read it for 5 minutes. Maybe you want to grow. Maybe you read your Bible every day. Well, maybe it's time to start digging in a little deeper and studying it and trying to really understand what's going on with it and growing in that. So it's not about where you start. It's about continuing to progress in the next steps that God lays out in front of you. So if you're just starting off in Bible reading, here's what my encouragement to you is. Let's start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who are we on a mission to lift up? Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was for God. And everything that we see is held together by Him, okay? Which tells me? Everything from start to finish in the book, everything that we experience is held together by Jesus. So when we read our Bible, what are we looking for? Hey, there you go. Old Testament will start making a whole lot more sense to you. You start looking for Jesus in it, okay? We're looking for Jesus in the center of everything that we're doing. So let's start there. If we're starting to grow in our Bible reading, let's start with the books that are 100% focused in on Jesus. Let's get His Spirit. Let's lift Him up. So leg number two, Bible reading. Leg number three, relationships. Like, you got to have good Christian relationships in your life. You need people. You know what you need? You need some people. If you don't show up to church, they know you didn't show up to church, and they text you. Like, I'm not trying to be like, we don't want to be like a harassing church, not because we're trying to inspect you, but because we care about you. We want to make sure you're okay. You know what you need? You need people that when you're going through it, you got a friend that you can text and call who will pray for you and not just give you the Christian thing like, oh, brother, praying for you. But they're really going to pray. You know what I mean? Like, you need these kinds of relationships in your life. You need people that you can flesh out the gospel with, which is why Jesus said, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first commandment, but there's a second that's equally as important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we were to put this into words, we're going to love God, and we're going to love people. We're going to love God, we're going to love people. The greatest commandment is to what? Love God. We're going to feed that love for God through our prayer life, through getting into His Word, by having great Christian relationships that are building us up, speaking life into us, encouraging us. That's what crews are all about. We're going to feed that, and what we're going to find is that there's one that is equally important. In fact, I would say it's the test or the litmus test of the strength of the foundation behind the scenes that nobody else sees, and that's that we can't love God and not love people. The two things don't coexist. They don't coexist. So when we love God, we begin to grow in a love for people. Like I said, it doesn't matter where you start in the spectrum, but I want you to understand the reason we have a relationship with God and the reason God has put you in the place of influence that He has, and you may say, I don't have any influence. If you have a job, you have influence because God has put you in that job not for you to make money, but for you to use it as a platform to what? Take what nobody else sees in private, the foundation of a healthy relationship with God, and use that platform, your job, no matter where it is. You know why you got great work ethic? Because I love Jesus. You know why I'm a smiling employee despite my boss's bad attitude? Why? Because I love Jesus. I'm now letting what is done in private shine through me in the midst of situations, in the midst of circumstances. So no matter where you are, start growing in your love for people. Like, do something kind. Do something nice. You don't have to be an extrovert to love people. You just have to be thoughtful, considerate, and full of God. Just to love people. Just love people, to serve people, to give your life for us. And that's why Jesus says, hey, these things, I want you to understand, this is the greatest commandment. These are your first steps. You want to know what your first step in your relationship with God? Fall more in love with Jesus. You want to know what your last step is 35 years from now? to cycle back and to fall more in love with Jesus than you were before. I can always tell when somebody's lost that. I always lost that because 9 times out of 10, they're more hung up on the what than they are their why. You got to fall more in love with Jesus. I'm always working on that. Now I'm going to let it shine, and I'm going to let it shine through in what Jesus said was the Great Commission. So when we've got our why right, God's going to give us the next step on our what, which is all authority has been given to me. I love how he starts off with that. What is he saying? If you want all this what to work, where's it going to start? With me. It's your why. So all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. So therefore, so because of this, because of your great love and my great love for you, because you understand all of that, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what I've found in my life is that it always starts with a go. It always starts with a go. Making disciples the same way it is in your own life comes with a level of intentionality, okay? You're not going to get a friend to church, and you're not going to make a difference in people's worlds on accident. I think God may do that, but that's the rare exceptions. Come on, we all know that, right? Like God will show up despite us oftentimes, the same way he does in my own personal life. But the real work is laying a foundation behind the scenes that nobody sees. It takes a level of diligence. It takes a level of pursuing those kinds of things. And I hear this from people. Can I joke around and use a little humor all the time? I always think of a redneck voice in my head. So I'm just going to kind of go with it. You know, like Terminator. People come, Pastor Jesse. Oh, man, just don't feel like the messages are feeding me anymore. I just don't feel like I'm growing, like they're feeding me anymore. And I totally get what they're saying to me. They're saying, I felt like my heart was alive for a little bit. It doesn't feel that way anymore. But can I just look at each person in here? I love you. I'm your pastor. I'm going to talk to you like a big kid. I am not responsible for your heart. Proverbs 4:23 does not say, above all else, church, guard your heart, people's heart. It says, above all else, guard your heart. You are the captain of your heart. You are the captain of what comes in it and what comes out of it. And we steward it not by what is seen, but what is unseen, by being men and women of prayer, being men and women of the Word of God, being men and women that are invested in the Great Commission and relationships in our lives. So here's the deal. If you're looking for me to feed you, here's what I'm going to say to you. This is me feeding you right now. I love you. I love you. But babies ask for a meal. Grown people learn how to cook one. So over this series, we want to help you learn how to cook your own meal. I don't want to be making bologna sandwiches for you your whole life. I want you to learn how to cook a steak. Keep your life alive. Learn to enjoy it a little bit. Get some new wine. I don't know if that's okay. It's fine. You'll catch up later. That's what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, a new wine. And we learn how to feed ourselves. Because here's why. Here's what leadership is for me. That's the last part of our mission statement, to empower leaders in every sphere of life. Leadership is God putting responsibility on you. And responsibility, once it rests on you, the Holy Spirit goes on a mission to develop the character of his son in you. That's what he does. It's called a process of sanctification. We're in love with justification, which is grace, right? Like, people, Jesus accepts me. He loves me. Yet he forgave my sins. I love that. And I want to say to you, Yes, can we just celebrate Jesus for accepting us and loving us and walking with us? I wouldn't be able to pray right if I didn't believe that on the core of who I am. I just wouldn't be able to do it. I'd spend 15 minutes apologizing for being me all day long. See, yes, friends, Jesus loves you just where you're at, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. I would say it to you like this. Imagine you're out in the ocean, no boat in sight, you're pedaling water, you're swimming. Somebody comes by in a cruise ship and they get off on a little, you know, one of those rescue boats. They get out there, they pedal out there, they get you on the rescue boat. You're like, oh, thank God you rescued me. They jump in the water, they go back to the cruise ship takes off, leaves you in the boat. What good is it to be saved if you're still stuck in the same position that you were? God doesn't want to leave you where he found you. He'll take you right where he found you, but he wants to grow you in your faith. He wants to grow you in next steps. And the way that works is people think discipleship happens in a classroom. It doesn't. Information is transferred in a classroom. Discipleship doesn't happen in a classroom. Discipleship happens biblically, Ephesians chapter 4, that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works before the beginning of time. Which means before God called you, before you found salvation, God had already etched destiny, purpose, things in your life that you were born to do. They're predestined for you. You got good works out in front of you. You got things out in front of you that God created you to do. And discipleship happens when we get our why right and we start to discover the what of what God has called us. And as we begin to walk out that what, God gets committed to working his son's image in our life. That's what oftentimes I'll give somebody leadership and all of a sudden character stuff starts coming to the surface. That's part of the journey. Like, that's part of the journey of why God does that, because the way we grow is to get intentional with what God has called us to. So in review today, just a little review. Next step number one, you got to get your why right. You got to know that I'm here to love God with all my heart. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to get that under my belt. And then you know what? We're going to start loving people. We're going to love God. We're going to love people. And we're going to start leading in life. That's why this church exists. You got to understand the big mission of what God's trying to achieve in your life. God wants you to be more in love with him than you could ever imagine. And he wants you to know his love more than you could ever imagine. God wants you to be the greatest lover of people on planet Earth, where people are just so attracted to you. I can't get around. That guy's just so nice. He's so genuine. So much love flowing from him. And God wants you to have a sense of mission in your life where you go, you know what? I was born for a purpose. God's working his son's image in me, and I am up for the process. I'm working my next steps. I'm working them. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. Today, we got to grab a hold of the big mission. Want to be great? Start living with the great commandment, the great commission in your life. Start working next steps. Start building your faith.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.